Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hour of Truth. My name is Rick Utzler. I'm out here in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. And with us today, we have Brad Capshaw there in South Carolina. Hey, Brad.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
And in the studio, Brad, you're going to need to actually use that mic, like get up and talk into it.
I sure will.
Thank you very much. It's getting there. And then we also have, Phil. I forgot your name for a second, Phil.
Good old Phil.
Phil Walthall there also in South Carolina. How you doing, Phil?
Doing fine. Thank you. And hello, everybody.
So what are you going to talk about today?
Well, Philip was in 1 John.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that. What brought you to 1 John today, Phil? What was on your mind that brought you to that part of the word?
Love. Love,
and that's our show for today, everyone. That'll
love. It was one of those. It was a rough week for me. Got a little bit overwhelmed with things going on, and didn't have to be. I allowed it to happen. My fault on letting that happen. I just opened up scripture this morning and I seen John, seen about his, the God's love toward us and what love was, and kind of just, talked about it some. And one of the verses that really struck me in that was, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And how Jesus is just well able, and that's something we can rely on. We can't really rely on anything else but him. And talk about, then start thinking about his love towards me, through the midst of me being an idiot. Once again, his love just being shown and manifested, and his grace being shown and manifested to me. So it's kind of what got me there.
There's a song on the radio, and one of the lines is, the guy's, hey, he's having a bit of a struggle, but he says, Lord, help me to stop fighting a fight that's already been won. And that's verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so much of the distress, I guess, that we allow ourselves is, it's a loss of sight, It's already done. Jesus said there's a rest that yet remaineth for the people of God, which I realize is heaven. But we're called to walk in peace. We're promised tribulation, but we're promised peace and joy in the midst of that stuff. And we lose focus and we start fighting that fight, and we're not really equipped to do it. But it's already won. We're able to take everything before him, because he said he cares for us, casting all our cares upon him. And it is possible to walk through the normal day-to-day struggles and not be in a twist.
Well, what comes to mind when you say that, Brad, at a time I had gone down to visit Dad, Brother Davey, in South Carolina, before I moved down there. And I had, it was during discipleship. Forget it, I wasn't on the air. I had been, for a period of time, living in a place of just anger. And, pride will get you in that place. Resentment. But when I say anger, I mean, like, I liken it to a pressure, like a gauge that's like sitting on 9.9, and it just takes that teeny little bit, and it hits 10 and blows its stack. And sort of had lived there for a while, and it's really not a fun place to live.
It's just, no, it's unnecessary.
Go ahead, you're going to say something?
No, it's unnecessary. I call that thing the low-level burn. I walk around with a low-level burn, less
well,
so.
This was not low-level. This was, like, full-on, like, rage. And, I mean, I, like, wanted to hit things, break things, throw. I mean, this just, really, it's a child throwing a tantrum because he's not getting his way. I mean, you boil it down, that's what a temper is a child throwing a tantrum, not getting his own way. And, you know, Lord worked on me on this stuff, and I had been down to visit Dad and my brother Davey, and you know, I had said something about, you know, something about please pray for me, and, you know, which is not a bad thing, you know, in and of itself, but, you know, I wonder how many times Christians say that to sort of put the responsibility of making the right choices on somebody else. And our discussion really came around to, you know, because I needed to believe more or whatever. He says, you know, it's not about believing more. It's about getting rid of the unbelief. And the verse in Hebrews, sort of, if you're going to, you know, you reference Hebrews 4 there, James, or Brad. In verse 11, it says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So it's really about laboring against unbelief. And those things in our day that would be contrary to God to get us, you know, sort of discombobulated, Phil, you know?
Yeah.
It's, we got to fight against that unbelief. One of the things I had struggled with just before I moved, and my car screwed up or something. And, you know, when you are.
Yeah, already stressed.
Yeah, well, you know, in our society, car equals freedom, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, car equals being a man, you know. Just and when you're young, you know, I have wheels. So when your car breaks, you know, it's sort of like is bad, you know, that's like, no, I'm not a man, I'm worthless. I don't know how
today
you
I am a man.
But as a when you're a young
I just person, figured I couldn't run anymore. I didn't have a car, I couldn't, you know.
Don't
just haul butt when I wanted to, you know. So.
Yeah, well, for me, car equaled freedom. You know, getting away right. from
right. Yes, absolutely.
It was, you know, and when that was
yeah.
no, not an option. You know, gosh, it's just this despair. Deep yeah. despair comes over you.
I understand.
And so pain I'm and like whining and crying, and you know, this was like the very first lesson of really. You know, against putting off the unbelief. And he says, you know, the Bible says that the Lord knows what you have need of before you ask for it. Do you need a car for your work? Well, yeah, I need transportation. He says, then he knows you need it. Why are you worrying?
Unbelief.
It was unbelief, absolutely. So you get caught in a situation at work, or you get caught in a situation at home, or you get caught in, you know, you get in a situation, and we know God's ability. Amen.
Amen. Well, yeah,
we know his ability to, he parted the Red Sea. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, is he a respecter of persons?
No.
No, he
well, Phil brought out in, first John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But, you know, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You know, he loved us first. And just because you've been walking with the Lord for some span of time doesn't mean that you're not still a sinner. And when we get ourselves, allow ourselves to get twisted and thrown back in unbelief, make those bad decisions. Yeah, he's not shocked. He's well able to handle that and right ready to fix it. So it's not like we owe him a couple of bad days to get on track. Once we're aware of it, which a lot of times if you're blessed to be in a fellowship like ours, that word will come down from somebody around you or over you. You don't owe him another bad moment, you know? Like,
it's not like you have to go do penance.
Exactly. Yeah, like yeah, Brother Davey brought out some weeks back, you know, forgiveness is in the moment. It's, you know, the twinkling of an eye. Kind of, you ask for forgiveness, and he says, okay.
I mean, at any time he can choose to, and cast off that unbelief and look toward him. I mean, you just, and repent.
Well, the thing is that we don't know all the unbelief in our heart. You understand?
Yeah. Well,
we don't know. We don't know all the places it lives. So things come up and it gets shown. And at that point, it's, I don't know if you guys heard my message about the, you know, melting the lead down, which is kind of a funny thing. But you know, I have this scrap lead, right? And in the lead is just so much nonsense because I shoot through paper. And so you've got cardboard, paper, all kinds of stuff that's not lead. I want the lead. I don't want all the other stuff.
Drops.
And even after you clean it and you've poured ingots and you go melt the ingots down again, there's still stuff in there that you have to, and you can do that over and over and over. You're still going to be pulling out impurities to a point. And we don't know what's in our heart. Sometimes we don't know, we don't even know that it's there until those things happen. I mean, we get in a situation and a circumstance and stuff going on, and now, then all of a sudden that comes to the surface, and praise God, we now know it's there and have the, we can put that old man off. We can put that thing off. We can get rid of it. I mean, why do we want it? Having that in us just makes us less pure, less profitable for him when we carry around that nonsense. Get rid of it.
Yeah, and that fire under the lead, that's trouble. Tribulation in the King James. That's trouble. Yeah, which does it. The fact that we got...
I mean, it comes in so many different ways. The thing that Brother Davey said last week that's been with me all week, and when you were talking about love today, Phil, and I have another scripture maybe we'll get to here. Talking about dying one to another. So you don't need to take a bullet for him. You need to love him when he's unlovable.
Yeah, I mentioned that in service. I kind of, where I started and ended up. I didn't really know where I was going to start, but we ended up there. Yep.
that is so much, I think. How can I put this? Things happen around us. You know, we have different personalities, different. If you have friction, you have heat. Yep. And when you have heat, you have things that come to the surface. And I'm not saying, you know, God's out there with a blowtorch at all, because God doesn't do that. We do it to ourselves. You understand? I want to make that clear. I'm going to go that down that other path again.
Yeah, God is.
It's good. Our own crap in our heart that causes that.
Right. Okay, so the heat is applied. It's not that God is sitting there with some big furnace and he's some big meanie turning up the heat and doing all he's doing. I mean, it's we create our own problems continuously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And those problems bring out stuff. And as they bring out stuff, we have then the opportunity to love one another or love ourselves. And that loving one another is loving each other when we're not lovable.
Yeah,
that is really the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the
what
example.
God did for us, loved us when we were unlovable, and that's what our...
Yep.
That is our... what's the right word? Commission? Go love others as I have loved you?
Yeah, he loved us first. He loved us in a fallen state from the jump. And, you know, like... your dad brought out of, you know, the parable of the guy that the Good Samaritan, where the guy gets thrown in the ditch, and the fellow that helped him says, "Go ahead, I have to go, but you take care of him, and I'll be back in a bit. And whatsoever else you spend, you know, I'll make that right on the way by." Something like that.
Sure.
And that's Christ. So he started from the jump loving us before we knew him or loved him, and we're a mess, and then. And that's always been the most amazing part of grace to me is as the years go by, you know, he's not shocked. He remains right, ready to forgive. And that's the commission you're talking about. That's the example that's set. And it's, to me, it's extremely difficult at times. You know, somebody hauls off and does the same thing to me again and again. You know, 70 times 7 looks good in print, but it ain't much fun when you're living it.
Yeah, it depends on which side of that equation you're on, you know. It certainly There's an aspect of it that's not pleasant that you have to overcome.
That's the flesh. But it's also doable. And going back where I hopped in this morning, you know, that fight's already been fought. That victory is won. It's ours. And then, like you said, it's our own unbelief that keeps grabbing hold of it. So, you know, faith pleases God. If we've got that belief in Him and that faith in Him, then we are going to mirror His character even in this life.
Well, I had a scripture that had come to mind to me. I was going to talk on this morning until this other thing came up, and I hope I got that part right. It just anyway, I trust the Lord to. If it wasn't perfectly right, then He'll correct me and get me where I need to be. But it was a very cool thing to watch that process of starting with that. It was just trash and then turn it into something that was useful. That was pretty cool. Okay, so I am over in 1 Peter chapter 4. And there's been so much talk about love and love one another. And it is the core. It's the core of everything. Jesus tells His disciples, "I'll know you're My disciples." How?
By your love one for another. Right.
So it is the core of the gospel. It's love. And it's not a love of feelings or emotion, but it is a love of choice. Just like God chose to love us, we choose to love one another.
Yeah. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's just stuff I was talking about this morning. It's interesting.
Paul Muller used to hammer that thing. That was back when you were in your place over there in town that you just sold, Ricky.
Yep.
But I mean, I came from a vastly, vastly different set of understanding than, you know, what I'm in now. But he would say, "Yeah, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice." And I used to just want to floss my teeth with barbed wire. He'd get me so upset. But it is a
turned up, huh?
Yeah. Hey, just as an aside, what do you heat that lead with?
I have a Lyman kit. It was like not very expensive. It came with the pot, came with the ladle, and came with the ingot molds. Just dump your pellets. If you get a trap or some way to capture your bullets or your lead, it's super easy. It was a ton of fun anyway.
But what are you heating it with?
Electricity.
Oh, okay.
It comes with an electric pot.
Okay. Yeah, we've got something like that in our shop at work. Not my shop, but the tour. All right, excuse me. I just had a moment of curiosity there.
Yeah. When you talk about this decision of love, I mean, we've made analogies before. I mean, you know, if you are a parent with children, well, if you're a parent, you have children, but a parent generally loves their child, even if the child doesn't always make them happy or please them or do everything right. I mean, there is a sense of understanding, at least at some level, what that is like to love because you choose to. That's how we're to love one another. That when we're ordered to love one another, it's that love. It's that agape love. I mean, there are times we're told to be kindly affectioned one to another. I mean, that's the philios love. That's that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to use a bad word. Don't be a jerk. you know, there's that too. But really, it comes down to agape love. That is a love of choice, and that is to always prefer what is best for that person over, you know, what you want to do.
Yeah, you definitely do see that with your own kids.
Yeah, and if you do that, I mean, I remember Ricky Baldwin talking a lot about if you're looking out for yourself, you got one person on your team. But if everyone is looking out for each other, you may have 50 people on your team. Now, which is a better way to go?
Yeah, clearly, right?
You know, and that's the way the body is supposed to work. I mean, we are a body. It's talked about the body of Christ, Jesus being the head of the body. You know, we're not a bride. We are the body. In fact, if you're part of the church, then you are part of His body. And that body looks out for itself. I have a physical body. And it, you know, one part is supposed to look out for the other part. If I stub my piggy toe, you know.
Oh, no.
My rest of my body springs into action to
make to say, my toe oh, feel better. Ow, ow.
There's all kinds of things that happen, you know? I mean, that's the way we are supposed to work with one with another. And the scripture that comes to mind is over in Peter. It's chapter 4, and it starts in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, I believe that we are at the end times.
Sure looks like it.
Now, how long that's going to be, I don't know. It could be in our generation. It could not be in our generation. That's God's. He knows.
That's right.
If Jesus says no one knows but the Father, then the Father knows. I mean, that's where that is going to say. And as we've been taught, only he that now letteth will let. Well, that's talking about the body of Christ when it becomes so ineffective that it can no longer hold back corruption. That's when everything starts to roll.
Yeah.
Right? So really the time is sort of, it's always been precarious, I guess is the point. And now it's very precarious. It's extremely precarious. You can look around and see just how precarious it is. I like that word, precarious.
It's a big word.
So we're told to do what? I mean, what are we here, Phil? We're told to
be sober and watch unto prayer.
Right. So, you know, be aware. Be paying attention. And watch unto prayer. Prayer is an important part of it. It should be an important part of every believer's existence. And above all things, look at this. Above how many things?
All things.
And above all things, have
fervent
charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That really, when we go into situations, that should be at the forefront of every believer's mind.
Yeah, and I look at that fervent charity, and I may be a little off here, but I could choose to love you, choose to do what needs to be done, and still have a grudging in my spirit. But if I have fervent charity, then that hesitation, grudging, that's, you know, looking out for numero uno, all that, if charity is fervent, all that's gone aside, and it actually becomes a joy to do, to help, you know, whatever it is that's going on. It becomes a joy to me to do it.
Let's take it to another level. Not that I think that what you're talking about is either you love someone or you're feigning loving them. Because if you love them, the begrudging and all that other stuff, you're faking it. You follow me?
I follow you, yeah.
Okay. So the fervent charity, as you were talking, this is what comes to mind. Do you remember when you called me up and said, I need a place to stay?
I do.
Do you remember what I told you?
You said, well, not as you are. If you're making a choice to do things different and repent, then you're more than welcome. If that's not the case, then no, you're not welcome. So what do you want to do?
You know how hard it was for me to take that angle?
I've heard that you were very specifically instructed to do that. And that,
I was. It was. You know, but it was for your good. It wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be the white knight, Mr. You know, the guy who says, see, I'm better than you are. Look, I'll take you in after you were an absolute ass. Hopefully Sue can edit that out. That one slipped by.
No, and, you know, thank you for saying it. That's fine. It is what it is. I am what I am. How's that?
Yeah, but, you know, but the fervent charity was recognizing what was best for you, what was right to do, and doing it.
But it is possible.
Go ahead, what was that?
I was going to say it is possible to do a right thing with a wrong heart.
I don't understand the correlation of what we're talking about.
Well, fervent charity, I might choose to do the right action because I understand that's what should happen, but I might have a hitch, a grudging in my spirit. So, it's not going to profit me anything because I did it in that sense. I'm going back to that word fervent, you know, to me, that's just a complete wash of all that selfish.
Well, to me, it seems like this. It means like, if you know Phil, I'm trying to get Phil back in the conversation here. If you know Phil, that unbelief is death to your household. Amen.
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 Then when you see it, you do not give it any place.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. The charity that I see, it's a choice.
Well, it goes beyond the feelings. I wanted to make sure that people understood that this charity here isn't about us all hugging and being happy.
No.
You know, it's about the love of choosing God and not allowing anything that would pull you. Remember the study on diligence? And it was
right.
Either diligence or fear, where if there was a town that was want to go after other gods and was drawing people away with them, that
wipe them out.
The duty of the nation, the rest of the nation, to kill every single one and destroy everything because it was a cancer to the rest of the nation.
Yes.
That's fervent. Do you understand? That's a fervent reaction to a problem.
Yeah. Right. And that, yeah. and an absolute choice to do it. And that's, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, gosh, I mean, I look at kind of like feeling good about it one way or another is just kind of neither here nor there because, and the reason why I say that, and I could be wrong here, Rick, the reason why I could say that is because it's a choice that you make and the flesh is just what it is.
Right.
Like
well,
the flesh, you know, the flesh is what it is. I mean, the flesh is always going to be the flesh. It's always cursed. It's not going to be fixed. The Lord didn't come down to save that thing. It's never going to become uncursed. It's cursed. It's going to the ground. Okay. So the flesh is the flesh, but with your soul, you can choose to love, with a ferventness and that you did clear up for me fervent charity because it's just an absolute choice and that diligence you're talking about, that diligence, an absolute choice. And if I know that unbelief is death to my family, unbelief is death for me, unbelief is death to those that are around me in whatever circumstance or situation, then to be have fervent charity is to be diligently to make a choice to diligently cast that unbelief as far as weight, cast it off, down, slam it to the ground and kill it. Absolutely, just kill it. with a violent freaking, it's done. Get rid of it. Get it off.
With prejudice, right?
With prejudice, absolutely.
Prejudice.
So I look at that, see, and you know, the love of Christ was a choice. And you know, when we choose to love one another, gosh, I mean, the flesh might, if the flesh is the flesh, I'm not paying attention to that. I'm going to choose the love. If I get direction from that line of authority or the Lord puts it on my heart and the direction is to choose this way in the situation, this would be the best loving thing for whomever it may be, then that's the thing that I'm going to choose to do with all diligence. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Fervently.
Fervently. There you go. Yeah. So you kind of right cleared there, that right up for me on as far as that.
Well, you
goes.
Think of fervently for a minute, Brad. And if you're looking at, and you don't need to answer this, just because I know you, I know your family, I know how you are or have been. I don't know how you are now, but I know how you
this
have
is
been.
This is going to be really ugly again, isn't it? Well, go
if
ahead.
If you look at the word fervent charity, you know, that is to stand immovable in grace, in love, in charity, and anything that would come against that is going to be put down with extreme prejudice. I mean, think of that. Think if more men took that position with their households. What a different picture we'd have.
Yeah, no doubt. I was thinking of the Rock of Gibraltar. Yeah, steadfast and immovable. I actually got to see it when I was a kid. And, you can see why that thing's been fortified through all the centuries, that It's just steadfast, unmovable.
It was an interesting thing that happened this week, and I kind of wanted to share. I don't know if this relates. It might. But there's a time where I think we had, you know, we've been doing like 100 plus tires a day for the past 2-3 weeks. I mean, we've just been extremely busy, and man, I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, that's all I could say, in a sense, but there was this time where like one guy called out, another guy was scheduled to be in, which he was supposed to have off, and he had authority to take off, and he took off. And then there was another guy that decided to quit, this day. Now it was interesting because Steven, before I even clocked in the door, I mean, this guy is like, Phil, oh my goodness. Like, I mean, freaking out about
manpower,
really extremely manpower. And one of the things that I did was I laughed hysterically at this, because I just found it amusing. And I found it amusing in the sense of this. And the reason why was because it was like, that is not going to be something that stops anything today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that is not something that's going to stop. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to play out. I really don't care, but I'm going to give it to him, and we're not going to be flipped upside down before we even start. We're just not going to do it. And, you know, kind of grabbing hold of him on that front and that kind of thing. I laughed. He couldn't believe it. Oh no. And, you know, I said, don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about this. We are going to go forward. We're going to get this day done. Things are going to come up. Get a phone call. Philip, I got three people heading your way. Boom. Right then and there. And the problem was handled. The problem was solved. Awesome. But it was that sense of, and that fervent charity. And it kind of, to me, I see it like unfolding and hitting a bunch of marks here, because it's one of those things. I am not going to let that be the fall. Like, nip it in the butt before it even starts. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nip it right in the butt before it even starts, or give it any place at all. No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Now, that was a pretty victorious things, but I mean, there's other things in the week where I very much tripped up and gave just that much room. Now I'm telling you of a victory of the Lord, and I praise God for it, but there was other things that happened that I just gave it just a little bit, and boy, it spread like phantom fire, man, and it got me in the wrong place. I was in the wrong place before I even knew it.
I had a little bit of that.
And I, you know, praise God, repented of those things. I turned to him, and guess what? All those things melted away, and he yet triumphed, and I still was there, and he still was there, and yet there was still victory at everything around me. And talking to Steve, and then I got a new perspective. I talked to Steve, and I get a new perspective that put a fire under my ass under my butt. To go forward in what the Lord has, the great opportunity that I have, and really a great opportunity that is going on right now, for things really cool to happen. And, you know, I praise God to be able to just even partake in it. And it really changed. I got a big perspective change on those things. And praise God for those things. But go ahead, Rick. I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, I'm just saying, you know, when you think about it, you know, you said greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, it's really kind of cheating, which is fine with me. I'm good.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we're all on board on that one. Oh, yeah.
The old saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I mean, you know, I just, when you look at it, you know, Phil, you should just look at it, right?
Yeah.
When you look at it, when you came in and you had that reaction, I'll sort of laugh in it. You know, gosh, if we can do that more often than giving just the fraction of space that we so often will do, sometimes we just leave the door wide open, say, come on in, have a party. Screw it. Let me put the chips and dip out. Woo-hoo. Oh,
yeah, I know. I mean, sometimes it's just like cuddle right up to it. I mean, we're ridiculous because it's so familiar. I mean,
we use it like a Snuggie.
Oh, I know. It's like hugging right up next to something that wants to kill you. Oh, come here, bear. Here, grizzly bear. Let me give you a big old hug and love on you. You know, it's just ridiculous. But anyways, I apologize.
Yeah, but if you see it, you gotta, I mean, it starts with where's your head at, right? I mean, Sue read a scripture today and again in Hebrews. It's Hebrews 12, lest you weary and faint in your mind, you know. If your head is in it, in other words, if your eyes are on the Lord and you see that, your eyes are open, you see it. But if you're, well, that's part of that sober, right? That first part, be sober and watch on your prayer or something like that. I mean, that was the...
Yeah, you got your head up.
Yeah, I'll bring it right back up again.
You're right there. I mean, you want to be victorious in the Lord in your day? Well, start with getting your head on right. You know, to start with... Steve tells me, he prays, Brother Steve says, you know, Lord, take the reins of my heart and drive me in the direction you would have me go. Something along those lines. What a great prayer.
Amen.
Because I know
I'm saying amen to that right now for myself, man. Right. Amen.
I mean, but he does it every day. Why? Because every day is a new day, and every day is another time I need to say, Lord, not my will, your will. I mean, every day, you know, probably multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But to be ready and willing to be in that place of bringing that fervent charity. I think of, we talked about it here recently in our men's Bible study where Jesus rebuked Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, right? That was fervent charity.
Absolutely. He nailed that thing before it grew, before it became, and I mean, he nailed it right away. But.
And it was clear as day as we were talking about it that night. I was like, that was extreme love, you know what I mean? That, because not just for Peter, but for him, for his own self, and for everyone that heard it, just absolutely nailed it. So he gave it no space. He warned his disciples, "Beware of the leaven of Herod and of the Pharisees of Herod." Why?
A little leaven of the whole lump.
That's right. Just a teeny little bit, and before you know it, everything is corrupted. You got to get rid of it. And that, gosh, that fervent charity to me, just, I think that a lot of people maybe read that and they hear the word charity or they see the word love and they get the gooey,
yes.
And that's, the sloppy agape is not what we're called to.
No. And it goes back to that. You know, I remember that Don Francisco, love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. You prefer others before yourself. And one of the things, I might be jumping ahead of you here, but you see, we're called to be his body. You were talking about being his body earlier. And one of the things is that you can see that the agape love, if it wasn't for the agape love and the love of Christ in others, and others in his body shown expressly to me, for an example, I would not be here. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And
everyone on the show today, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I know it's true for me.
Yeah. And that's what we're called. And you know, you read 1 John and that's what we're called to do. I mean, you read it. In that 1 John, that's what we're called to do. And in Peter, it's talking about that fervent charity, that love, that agape love. It's so important. Without that, there's nothing. It talks about in Revelations, Rick, and I don't remember which church it was, but he talks about, yeah, there's all these things, but one thing you forgot was your first love. And that was the error that they had.
Yeah, they were about to get the
candle. That was the warning that they had.
I had something similar happen Friday night, Phil, but I didn't respond right. And I managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of certain victory. I came in like 1,000 parts under. I know they're waiting on me. I know when I get there Monday, I know what's going to happen. And it's just that things start going south, get my eyes on the storm instead of, you know, on the hand of God. And, I came out feeling like you'd think I would feel, but I heard something one time. It says when people, how's it go? When people succeed, they party. When they fail, they ponder. So I thought, all right, well, this is a done deal. I'm going to ponder this and try to figure out what to do different. And I was going to talk to Charlie about it a little bit, but I, praying about it. I got a different sense of direction of what I can do now. So even on the back end of not doing it right, which unfortunately I'm sure the three of us could tell our stories about that. Even on the back end of that, well, that's the past. There ain't no change, but I can still profit from it. I guess that's a little bit of a change of subject, but it just really crossed my mind when you're talking about laughing
Oh yeah, and by the way, we did do 135 tires that day, by the way. With ease, as a matter of fact, just to kind of let you know how
teamwork
that worked. I mean, it was a praise the Lord. But one thing that is sometimes it is those kinds of things, you're behind on those parts and these kinds of things that actually can cause you to, look inward and look at changes and looking at how you can operate and do things differently, which is actually not a bad thing.
Of course, we're talking about business and work, but if a mistake is made, if an error is made, you would be dumb not to try to come away from it with something to help you in the future. You know what I'm saying?
The natural tendency is wanting to make excuse for the error, trying somehow be it not your fault. I don't know whose fault it is, but if you're the manager, ultimately the buck stops with you. So, you know,
there ain't no dodge.
What's that?
There's no way to dodge it. You're right. Ultimate responsibility is mine.
And that's where you say, look, this is where we are. This is what happened. This is how I think we can fix it. I got to tell you, as a guy who has made a lot of mistakes and has missed deadlines and, you know, frankly, well, in some regards, done a pretty pitiful job at things. The only saving grace was the humility to go to my client or my employer and say, this is where we are. This is my plan to resolve it, and I hope you'll have patience with me because it's my every intention to get this done and caught up and et cetera, et cetera. I got to tell you, you know, when you come at it from that perspective and you don't make excuses for it, I don't have a bad experience that way. It's never comfortable, you know, but I get from, yeah. I think compared to what they are used to getting, in the world, which is everybody seeking to justify themselves and make it somebody else's fault. They don't like I'm late, but they are at least reflecting the idea that I'm not trying to hide it. It's like, I send out invoices to my customers and I have some that are chronically late. They always eventually pay, but I find it funny that, you know, I have to chase them down. You know, look, we've been doing business together for 8-9 years, okay? You know it's due on the 15th of the month. The bill hasn't changed in 9 years.
Yeah, and I can't spend a story. I just need the money.
Yeah, I mean, can tell me, hey, we're going to be late. That's fine. You know, but if it's 3 months in and I've got to, you know, send 15 emails and get on the phone, I mean, just say, look,
it's tiresome. Late.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't need to do that if you're up front with it and you just, I hate using the phrase you own it because that's not really what I'm getting at, but at least you acknowledge it and you seek to resolve it to the best, you know, that you can for your employer. That's the right way to handle that kind of situation.
Yeah. And put things in place to prevent it from recurring.
Yeah.
On a personal level, too. I mean, I realize we're talking in a business setting, but on a personal level, something didn't go right. Okay, why did that happen? All right, what do I do different going forward? Because you can't fix what was. That's what grace is for, right?
I mean, sure, redeem it. One thing that I was actually going to hit on some of that on that note is because, I mean, what you're talking about is that humility where you know, that's how you receive of the Lord too, right there.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you receive it. You don't make excuse. Yeah, absolutely. You don't make excuse at all. You, or, I messed up. Help me, have mercy on me, Lord, and help me to receive that which I can go forward in that's profitable to you, not the same crap that I've been doing, because that's not profitable.
Show me your way. Lead me in your path.
But that's, I seen a relation there I wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I'll just make a point at, you know, Brad, and I believe you know this, but for those that are listening, I want to make a distinction. There is no separation in our lives. You know, business is ministry.
Amen.
Family is ministry. Ministry is ministry. If you are a believer and you call yourself a believer, you guys out there listening, then 100% of your time is God's. And you are his representative. You're either a representative to his glory or to his shame. But you are a representative all the time. There is no family life and personal life and your time and work time. You are on his time. So do keep that in remembrance. Brother Steve tells a story of Brother Lawrence who wanted to be in ministry full time. And Steve says, why aren't you ministry full time now? He says, well, I work. He says, well, why aren't you ministering where you work? And that wasn't, you know, getting up on a soapbox at lunch and preaching. That was...
Yeah, be faithful in your performance.
You're a minister of God, even while you're there. So, you know, it is the principles that you, the reason Phil has success at his work is not because he's some stellar tire guy.
No.
You may be, Phil. I don't know. But it's not because you're some stellar tire guy. It's because.
They think I am, but I know better, Rick.
Because you brought the spiritual principles that work to work. And they work. Faith works. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Faith works. It just does. And if you employ, that's how you kind of go back to your cheating kind of thing. If you employ the same principles that David used to defeat Goliath, if you take that same faith, that same belief, that same fervent charity, did he not have fervent charity for his God?
Oh, absolutely. And for his people, or for God's the people, absolutely. For God's people.
Take that into, or take that with you everywhere you go, that faith, that function will continue to function in the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because God's not a respecter of persons.
I mean, and that's how, that's the only, as I was talking about in service. Go ahead, Brad. As I was talking about in service, was the only way we can love one another is with his love. The only way we can conquer anything is with him. The only way we can walk anything out in faith is with his faith. And I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Cause you know, what's that scripture in John 15? He talks about, without me, you can do nothing. And that's so true. But so true. You know, you got, and it's very interesting you bring that up. And that's really what I minister. I mean, you know, how you do this, Phil. Oh, the Lord's been good to me. That's pretty much what I can say, because you've had guys that have been there straight 15, 20 years. And I know we're probably coming up soon here, but 15, 20 years that have been in my same position, and they're not, I'm managing the most profitable store, the biggest store in that business. And that's been there 15, 20 years, and the tire manager, and does not have that position. Okay. And the reason why that I'm in that position is only because of Jesus Christ and his grace. And that's it. That's all I could say to it. I ended up getting under Scott. Scott found me to be the best assistant manager ever, and when he took his general manager position, I was the next one up to go do that. And the Lord set that all up. He did that. And I praise God for it, but that was by him and his spirit, his love, you know, all those things. Just like what you're talking about right there. And it goes to show, I mean, he's not a respecter of persons, as you said earlier.
Yeah, the promises to everybody.
Yeah, I was one that was the screw up. I was the poster child to screw up at Gerald's.
Yeah, if there was any person to not respect, I mean, Phil was it. I mean, really.
In the past.
And it really was. I mean, I was the poster. They were like making, the joke was, let me tell you, was, oh, Phil's back. Let's see how long he's going to stay this time. And, you know, Phil has been hired and quit and hired more times than anybody else in the company besides one other person. I think it was. I think we were tied. We were tied at the time. But I mean, that was really the joke. I'm not kidding you. But here you can see what the Lord is able to do with anybody. And it's really just a sign and a testimony, not of me, but of him and what he's able to do. And he's able to do that in anybody's life. It's available to anybody. He's not a respecter of persons.
Well, guys, we are running here at the end. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Brad, you have a couple things you want to throw in? Just like 30 seconds, 45 seconds here?
Nope, not really.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and close it up a little bit early today so we can all get ready to listen to the next service, which is the Texas service coming to you from Texas, obviously, at Grace Chapel at Grace Ranch. So, guys, thanks for coming up today.
All right, Ricky. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, man. My pleasure. And I hope it was useful to those listening. Stay tuned here to the Eagle Radio Network and the Fishman Ministry. We got one more service coming your way this morning. And if you want to listen anytime to past services, you can go to www.thefishmanministry.org and go to the audio archive section, and they are all listed there. Thank you, guys. We'll be back hopefully next week. Have a great week.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.